that. But what we felt like this year, that what we will do is that we're going to partner with Hershey Center. They're having a big event for kids on Family Day. And if we do it at Hershey Center, we can reach from up to 20 to 30,000 people with the same money that we spend. And what we will be doing as Catch the Fire is that we will be doing prophetic over the people, prophetic session over the people. We'll be doing dream interpretation. We'll be doing healing rooms. So we will need people in different campuses to come and help, and we will give training as well. And so what we'll be doing is that there is it's a three-day festival, and then one of those days we're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite the people to go to the airport campus and then get them to go there. And what we're going to do is that we're going to give an awareness of who we are as Christian, because you know what? Sometimes we are Christian. People don't even know we are Christian because we don't say anything. And this is an opportunity to be able to speak up and to be able to show that we are the salt and the light. And we have something else coming up as well. We have the Heart and Stroke Foundation that we are partnering with. And it's an annual bike ride. So what we, like Steve was saying, we're not going to do new project. We might do one or two, but what we are going to do is that we're going to partner with people who already have everything organized. We just go there and help. I think that's a very smart idea, you know. Why have 10 different projects when somebody already spent so much time, so much energy to do one? What we need to do is just go and join them and make it a success. So what we're going to do, one of them will be Heart and Stroke Foundation, and also... they do it on DVP, so we're all going to have our T-shirt, Love Your City, Love Our City, and that will bring an awareness of what is that, why do you do that, and that will be a good way of loving our city. And also, we are going to go to Center Island as well one day. So there are three projects on the go with a lot of small projects, but for Ajax, what we've been doing is that we've been trying to get to go into jail and be able to... pray for the people, the inmate, and we haven't got a go-ahead yet finalized. As soon as it's finalized, I will let you know. We've been going to the senior home, and this is still pending as well. Ali is still negotiating with them. What happened is that what we've been asking them is that they kind of don't want us to pray for the people. So what we've been asking them is that, you know what, we don't come here to entertain. We want to be able to bless the elderly and to be able to pray for them as well. So what we're negotiating is that okay after we do a little bit, after we do a few songs, what we will be doing is that for those of them who don't want to receive prayer, they're welcome to leave. But for those who want to receive prayer, would you allow us to pray for them? You know, we need to get their permission to do that. So we're still working with them on that. So as soon as we get the go-ahead, this will be one thing that we will be doing here in Ajax, like for the Ajax campus. And you know, I really believe that the Love Our City, the reason God is putting that as a theme for us is to getting us ready, prepared. He's coming very soon. He's getting it prepared for what is coming ahead. I can see the demarcation line is coming, and it is more and more apparent. Like, you see the five wise and the five foolish. No one wants to be foolish. I don't want to be foolish. Although sometimes I can be foolish. You know what I mean? None of us want to be foolish. And God is preparing us. It's a good thing. And some of us, there will be a few changes that we'll need to make, but it's for our own benefit. You know, like sometimes God throw a little something at us and we're like, why are you doing that? And it's for our own benefit. Love Our City is for our own benefit. God is aligning us so that we can move forward for what is coming ahead. We've been looking inward, and there's nothing bad in looking inward and getting us all clean up. But it's always good to know that we are here for a reason, not for us to be all cleaned up and nice, but also to be able to be a blessing for others. We are here to be a blessing for others. So that would be one thing that, you know, God loves cities. He loves cities. Heaven is a city. The Bible starts with a garden and it ends with a city in Revelation. And we're all looking forward for that. Why does God love cities? Because cities are full of people. And you know what? Steve has been sending me a few slides and he gave me a verse that he would like each of the campus to talk about. And one of them, the slide number one, for Love Your City, 68% of Canadians live in a city, and 86% of them are visible minorities. 96! I was shocked. I'm like, where did he get that? GTA has the highest proportion of visible minorities, and Vancouver is second. You know what? Just have a look at our church right now. Many of us come from a different countries. I come from Mauritius. John come from Mauritius. Where are you from, Romas? That's where he come from. Bob? Halifax, thank you.
Toronto?
England? Toronto? Trinidad? Toronto? Toronto? Guyana. And here? Shirley?
Ghana.
I'm like, you know what? We have so many different nations in this little place. This is what Ajax is made of. This is what Durham region is made of. And I remember 20 years ago, 21 years ago, when I first came to Canada, it wasn't that many nations, like not as much as it is right now. It's changing. We don't even have to go out in a different nation. We can just stay in and minister to the different nation of the world. Isn't that amazing? And everybody has a different accent. It's like it's something else. I remember when I first went to school, I went to Ryerson. Like, they couldn't even understand what I was saying. I can't understand what I'm saying, and they can't understand what I'm saying. And when I'm over the tired, I start speaking in French because that's easier for me, you know what I mean? Usually your mother tongue comes first. And, oh yeah, okay. I mean, I'm going to tell you a joke about John when he first came to Canada. You know how we pronounce different word differently? So he's like, I have the microphone so I can tell you the story. And then when I do that, I'll give you a question. So what happened is that he called TTC and said, you know what? I'm new in Canada. I need to take the TTC, the GO train, not the GO train, the subway, and I need to go to Papi. The guy said, Papi? Papi, what is that? Papi? Oh, yes, Papi, I need to go to Papi, and I need to... But the guy could not understand, and the man could not understand the word. What do you think? It's Papi. It's Papi, okay? And then there was another lady, she went on the bus, and when he looked at the guy who was driving the TTC, is that Yogi? Is that Yogi? It's Young Street. Is that Yonge Street? Is that Yonge Street? In her name, it's Yonge, you know what I mean? But the guys are, it's Yonge. Do you know Yonge Street? No, Yonge, Yonge. It's like we all have so many different accents. It's amazing. And we all understand each other. I'm telling you, we started to get interpretation of tongue here already. So slide number two is, you know, like the same message that God has been talking over and over to different cities. He's like, what is that? Turn to me. Turn to me. In Jonah, he said, Nineveh, come back to me, Nineveh. Ajax, come back to me. Pickering, come back to me. Toronto, come back to me. When a city come back to the Lord, good things are going to happen. And this is the verse that Steve would like me to share with you is in Jeremiah verse 20, chapter 29, verse 4. If you have your Bible, I would like you to turn to your Bible to Jeremiah 29. Verse 4, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your son and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminish. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive. And pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. You know what? I do believe that Jeremiah had the same issue that we have here. People, he was talking to people who were not even born in that country. And this is the instruction that he's been giving to them. And I believe this instruction can be for us as well, if we want to take it for us. You know, it says turn to God. What are the things that really, that we need to give to God that we haven't really given to God? And I believe it's in simple things that we need to give to God. You know, we might be thinking, you know what? God has a big plan for us. He has a ministry for me. And you know what? Let me tell you, it starts with the little things that we're faithful with. And it starts with our own life. I've been hearing about trusting God. I teach on trusting God. Guess what? The other day, like we went on holiday. You know how when you go on holiday, you clean your bag and you don't want to take as many cards as you will be taking? So I got rid of some of my card, and I said, I need to hide it somewhere. Guess what? When I came back, I forgot where I hide it. So I'm looking for my card, taking all my... I'm like, it must be in my closet. So I remove all my clothes and stuff like that. Where is it? Where did I put the card? And then I got healed up. I said, thank you, Jesus. Then I go to God instead of going to God first. Then I said, God, can you please show me where I left my card? That was the night before. The next day, as soon as I pulled my T-shirt, guess what? All the cards were flying down. And I've been teaching on trusting God, turn to God first. And even if you live in that and you think you know it, we don't. We need to be reminded, turn to God. It's like, as soon as I said, God, where is it? Why didn't I do it the first time? I don't know why. Like, for some reason, I didn't do it. I would tell my kids to do it. Oh, why didn't I talk to God first, you know? And here I am. It's like, instead of me asking God, I'm like, I'm doing it myself. We tend to want to do things on our own. Is that right? And then when things doesn't go over there, oh God, oh please, can you please show me where that is? And God is so good. He knows us. He knows us like tip off his finger. He knows how we are. So one of the things that we need to do is really turn to God in simple things. Be faithful in the little things. And you know what? The new year, everybody has resolution. One of the main one is, you know what, right? I need to lose weight. Everybody needs to lose weight after the new year. And it's funny. It's not funny, in fact, because you know what? In North America, people die of overeating. And in Africa, people die of undereating. Isn't that something? And every year, we're like, okay, we're going to be careful. We're going to have resolution. People go and pay for fees to go and do exercise. And after 2 months, they pay for 1 year. After 2 months, guess what? They don't go, right? Most people, that's the stats. It's sad, but that's the way it is, right? And the thing is that, really, I think what need to do is a change of lifestyle, change of mentality. It's the little thing that need to change. When I went to the Lorette training, I find it very interesting because I went to some of the marketing training when I was working, and they will tell us, you know what, if you have a strength, you need to work on your strength because that will take you to the next level. If you're a very good communicator, work on it, and this is how you're going to make the sale. If you have like the different strength that you have, work on it. But when I went to Lorette, and even Max, I love Maxwell's book. It's a very good book for leadership. And you know what? Even him, he has been talking about that. But I went to Lorette. They talk about something a little bit different. The guy worked for Xerox, and he was talking about three different... he was talking about the price, the quality, and the service. I should have a board and write it down. Price, just imagine price. Everybody got price? Quality and service. So if the price is, for example, 5, the quality is 5, and the service is poor, 2, and you multiply all of them, how much will it be? 5 times 5 is 25, 20 times 5 times 2 is 50. But if you increase the price to 6, and then you leave the others the same, 6 times 5 is 30, 30 times 2 is 60. This increases the strength. But if you choose to increase the weakness, remember, the first one was 50. The second one is you increase your strength, it becomes 60. Now we're going to increase our weakness. So we increase it to 3, the last one. So 5 times 5 is 25 times 3 is 75. It jumped from 50 to 75 by just changing about our weakness. Isn't that amazing? I thought that is very good for us to know that if there's a weakness in our life, and we all have it, if you don't have it, ask your husband or your wife or the people who are close to you. They will tell you right away. We all have some weakness. And what happened is that, I'm not going to ask your wife. What happened is that if we work a little bit on our weakness, we will see a big difference. For example, our weakness may be, maybe our mouth is a weakness. So if we work on that, we will see a big difference in our life. Maybe our weakness is character, or we can't keep our words. You know what I mean? If that is a weakness, work a little bit. Actually, you know what? Ask God to come and help you. That's even better. Because the Bible says we can do all things for Christ who strengthens us. And as we ask him to come and help us, we are partnering with him and allowing him to partner with us so that we can move forward. So small change will make a big difference. And you know what? The reality, that's a true reality. Most of us will not change even if we know the light. We will change when we feel the heat. That is a true reality. You know what? We all know that we need to pray for our relatives. We all know that. Who doesn't know that? This is pure light, right? We all need to pray for our parents. But you know what? I do pray for my parents. But one day I got a phone call that my dad has to do a surgery. Oh my God, suddenly the heat is under me. Oh Lord Jesus, I believe that all in my household shall be saved. And then we like going full force. It's not about knowing the truth. It's when the heat is under us that we really move. And you know, we don't have to wait until the heat is under. Many of us, we know the light. We know a lot of truth. We just have to start going and doing what we know. We know a lot. We just have to start doing a little bit. I'm not asking you to do a lot bit, just a little bit. And with God, we can do that. So the second one that in Jeremiah, it says, in Jonah, it turned to God, and then it says, build. Jeremiah 29, verse 5. It says, build houses, build. And to build, what do you need to build? You need resources. You need energy. What the prophet was saying is that settle down, build. Many of us were from a different country. Let's come and settle down and start building up and start doing things that will root us. Can you imagine if a big plant, if you keep uprooting the big plant, regardless how big it is, it's going to die. But if you leave that plant rooted and taking root, that plant will grow really beautifully. One of the things that I've seen in my own personal life, like I've had a lot of friends who come from Mauritius who come here, and until now they have not been able to be rooted in a church. They're still looking for the church that they have back in Mauritius. I keep telling them, I say, you will not have a church like you had. You've got to move on and get rooted. After 20 years, they're still moving from one to the other. It's sad because you know what happened is that, I know there are times when you need to move. I'm not talking about that. And I'm talking about never being able to be rooted in a place where you can say, this is home for me. It's good to be able to find a place where you say, this is home for me. So God is asking us to be a builder, to build everywhere we go, build your children. Don't tear down, because when people look at you, he say, you know what, this is a builder. When people look at Susan, he say, you know what, this lady, she just loves to build. She just always say word of affirmation over you. She's a giver. She likes to build. You know what I mean? And this is who we need to be. We need to be more like Jesus. The next one Jeremiah talk about is seek peace. How many love peace? I like peace. Some good peace is very good, you know. Like the Bible talk about peace that passes all understanding. So how do we seek peace of the city? Be a good neighbor. It's like don't fret for the little things, you know what I mean? Get a job and serve God there. I'm telling you, sometimes you go in a job, the people that you meet there, you're like, God, what are you doing? You almost want to, you know, kind of whoosh. Am I the only one? I remember when I first came to Canada. Okay, thank you. We have one honest people here. I first came here. Like, I was surrounded with people. And it was hard at the beginning. Like, You know, like, because we were supposed to apply for a promotion, and one particular lady was so upset with me because she wanted the job, and she didn't get it, you know? And what happened? Everything in me wanted to say, well, you know, I got it, so you may as well, you know, work with me so that we can do things together. Sometimes you get people like that, and everything in me wants to scream out. So I'm thinking, what is in me that wants to scream out? Is that the Jesus in me? I don't think so. That is definitely not Jesus, you know. Although I was a Christian, I love God with a passion. But sometimes what is in us is not Jesus. That part is not saved, I guess. Sometimes as Christian, I know people who do not want even to hire Christian. It is sad. Have you been with colleagues that they are Christian and they seem to be worse? Why is that? It's character issue. It's not like they're not Christian. It's not like they don't love Jesus. If you see them on Sunday, their hands are high up and they're loving the Lord with all their heart. And I truly believe that they do love the Lord. But everything has to do with character. And God wants to change that in us. All of us. And all of us have that. And sometimes when you are beside somebody that you really want to kind of, you know, knock off, you have to kind of check what is in your heart. You know, like some people rub you the wrong way. Well, why did she say that? It's like, why is that? And let me tell you something. If you move from that place and go to another place, you will have another one who will have the same different faces, but the same mindset. Why is that, God? And if you say, I'm going to change job, I'm going to go to the other one. Guess what? Now you have another one. It's like, well, it follows you. Until we get rid of that and face it heads on. God, there's an issue in my life. You know what? It's always easy to blame somebody else. Victimization. It's like, oh, it's the other person. Let me tell you something. Freedom comes when you take responsibility. You will always be in bondage. I will always be in bondage if I don't take responsibility of what is going on in my life. Because everywhere you go, you will meet these people. And maybe I am one of them as well. But we don't really see it until we take responsibility. That's when we will be able to move on. So really ask God, I don't know, what is your work situation? I don't know, like maybe, you know, you move from one place to another, one neighbor to another, and you always meet that kind of neighbor. Can it be that it's me that need to change? Can it be that my attitude that need to change? You know what I mean? So this is one thing that we need to do. We need to be salt and light where we live. And you know what? I know that if we're an adult and we have created the life that we're living in, and if we don't believe it that we've created it, we will not be able to change it. So we need to be able to reassess our life and say, you know, what's going on in our life right now? What are the things that need to be changed? And what are the things that I can do to change that? We can do things. If we can do things to make people upset, we can do things to make them happy. If we have the ability to do that, we have the ability to do the other side as well. So I believe that 2011, God is going to show us little things. I'm not talking about big things. Little things that he wants to partner with us to change in our lives. So he asks us to build, seek peace, and then he asks us to pray. You know what? Let me tell you something. We all have no problem praying. We love praying. I love praying to God. Like I can pray and sing to the Lord. Like while I'm taking my shower, I'm praying really, really loud. But when it comes to everybody come together, have it happen to you that for you to be able to pray out loud, it's almost like you have to push yourself? Why is that? Because you know what? It is a spiritual thing. I will tell you why. One chase 1,000, two chase 10,000, and three chase a lot of 1,000. The reason why we don't feel like we want to pray, it is a spiritual reason that will push us. The only person who doesn't want us to pray, you know who doesn't want us to pray. Because as we start opening our mouth and start declaring and start praying, things start going to happen. Like even for me, like you know what, I'm not very, like, I don't think I'm too talkative. I will talk when I need to talk. I'm not that talkative, right, Angie? I'm not that. But you know what? But sometimes when we're in groups, even when in a prayer group, and I'm a pastor, like I have to kind of say, God, you know what? I choose to pray out loud. Because if I don't say that, I tend not to want to do that. Like if I'm leading a prayer meeting, I have no problem leading it and praying. But if somebody else is leading it, I'm like, it's okay, I don't need to pray. You know, and I realize this is spiritual. Because the moment I say, I'm going to do it, because it takes you to say, I will do it. And when you do it, there's breakthrough. So I encourage you, as we're going to start doing prayer meeting more and more. You know what? I know some of you, you're not used to do that. I encourage you to do that because there's power in prayer. There is power when we start opening our mouth and start declaring the goodness of God. There's power when we start saying, you know what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. That means no weapon. That means no nothing which is bad that is inside of me. You know that thing that is in you that wants to push somebody else when they are begging you? That thing, we need to pray about that. Because when we start declaring it, it has to go. It has to go in the name of Jesus. And the enemy doesn't want us to open our mouth. Oh, you know what? Your prayer is not like the other one who is like, God doesn't look at that. He looks at our hearts. We might pray just two words, but God knows how you're trembling just to say that two words. Do you remember the first time that when you I remember the first time that I had to preach. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I am repeating the same word over and over again at home. Well, how am I going to do that? But, you know, we have to do it afraid and keep doing it until we are able to do it. Like at the big fear will come and fear will creep you. We've got to break that thing off and keep moving on. We all are very different. We all have our style of doing things. But you know what? Sometimes we have to just push ourselves to do it and say, God, you have a purpose for me. And God will not lie to his word. Do you know that? He will not lie to his word. When he asks us to do something, he will help us. And he will take us to the next level. We just have to push ourselves a little bit. Like most of us, I would say 99%, whenever we have a prayer meeting, 99%, it have to be like when you ask somebody to pray, then they will pray. But if they're leading the meeting, we don't have any problem doing that. And this is spiritual. We need to break that off as we continue to do that. And the next... Well, let's pray for our city, pray for our workplace, pray for our family, our kids, pray for ourselves. It's good to be able to pray. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your leaders. Pray for the people that are close to you. Pray for the people that you don't particularly like to be around with. And say, God, you know what? I be honest to him. God, I really don't like this person because this person, I don't know, for some reason I don't like him that much. Why is that, God? Is there something in me that need to be changed? Is it my attitude? 99.9, he will say, yes, I think so. So it's like, you know what? Okay, God, can you help me, Father God? We all need God for us to be able to move on. So he talked about the peace and what I like about that, it says, if it prosper, you will prosper also. You know, in Ephesians 2, verse 10, the Bible talks a lot about we are his workmanship. You know, as Christians, we like to think that there's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. And that is so true. There's nothing that we can do that will make us go to heaven. Nothing, not enough work that we can do that. We cannot buy salvation. How much is salvation? It's priceless. But you know what? It's not free. It's not salvation. Freedom is not free. For us to have freedom here, you know how many of the Kenyan soldiers are being beaten up and dying? How many families are losing their sons and daughters for freedom? Freedom is never free. For us to be able to receive salvation, it costs God everything. It costs him his son. This is not free. This is very expensive. If I have to give my daughter, that is a very expensive thing. And you know what? This is the cost of freedom. And God gave us Jesus. And you know what? In Ephesians 2, and so there's nothing that we can do to buy salvation. But there's one thing that I really like when you talk about Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? We are created for good works. That's what we are created for. We are created to do good works. Good works is not going to make us go to heaven. Jesus paid the price. But there is a reward. Like, as a Christian, we are created to do good things. And there is a reward to that. I'm telling you. That, like, the Bible is full of verses talking about sowing and reaping. We love to have this very easy. You know, God is for me and I'm going to be able to get everything. But we need to be able to jump into that. And one of the way of doing that is to be aligned with the Word of God, is to be more like Jesus. And to be more like Jesus, you will do more things that Jesus will do. And you know what? There are things on earth that you will meet people who will never be happy, whatever you do, regardless. You can give them your whole life, everything else, they will never be happy. I'm not talking about that. Our covenant is with God. Our covenant is like, God, what do you want me to do? This is what you want me to do. I'm going to do it wholeheartedly. If you want me to help my neighbor, I'm going to do it. You know, that person may never repay me back. But I know who is going to reward me. It's him. He's going to reward me because he's the one who asked me to do that. Sometimes when God asks you to do something, he will reward you. You know, there are over 100 verses on rewards. We have a lot of examples in the Bible talking about the rewards. You know, in Mark 10, verse 28, it talks about the parable of the talent. As Christians, we have that thing, like, you know, if somebody is poor, we need to give the person. And there's nothing wrong to give for those who don't have. The Bible talks about give to the poor. But why did God put that parable? One of them has five, one of them has two, and one of them has one talent. The five, it multiplied, it became 10. Two multiplied, became four. And the one who has only one, he buried it. And what happened? Taken away. Does it sound like God? Well, it is God. This is the way God functions. But the religious mind has come and said, you know what? You don't need to do anything. Some people even think that we don't need to do anything and we can do whatever we want to do. I believe that we're missing the biggest blessing that God has for us. God has a set rule for us. In Jeremiah 29, it's very clear. Like, turn to God. Seek the peace. Love the people around you. Build. Take roots. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, as well as in Romans 14, verse 10, it talks a lot about how we are going to go before the Lord one day. And he's going to look at me, Alexandra, what have you done? He said he's going to judge us according of what we've done. That's his word. He said he's going to do that. We don't have to be afraid of that because you know what? He's going to work with us to do the things that he asks us to do. He will never ask you to do something which is too big that you can't do it. That's his promise. He's the God and he will not lie. He said he will come and he will ask you. Like, as pastors, I will be responsible for every word that I speak in front of the pulpit. Did you know that I will be responsible for everybody who called TACF, Catch the Fire Ajax, their home church? One day I will have to be accountable for that. So where's my covenant? You will have to be accountable for the kids that you have, for all the things that God have given you specifically. I will have to be accountable for my life and for this congregation. This is the word of God and it says that. And you know what? The thing is that we have to know who is the one that we're having covenant with. We're having covenant with the King of Kings. And we need to be able to understand is that we go before the Lord and we say, God, what is it that need to be done? 2011 is going to be a good year. A very good year. How many believe that 2011 is going to be a very good year? I believe God is going to start positioning us to do things that we are supposed to do. If all of us do the things that we are supposed to do, I'm telling you, good things are going to happen. And all of you, you have a part of it. Don't think that, you know what, oh, I'm just insignificant. No, you're not. Your presence is because God have asked you to come here.
There is a reason for us to be on earth, not to be just to work and to pay our mortgage and to raise our kids. Life will be dull just for that. There is a reason. God put you to work in a workplace, not just to go there and work and make money. It's because the people that you are meeting there, God has a plan for you. And until we fulfill that and we want to move on, He will move us on. And you know what? This year, we need to expect to be blessed. This is the expectation that we're going to do. So we're going to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to stand up, all of us. We're going to pray to God. Just before that, anybody want to give a testimony very quickly about the goodness of God in their life in 2010? Very quickly, a very quick testimony.
I was sharing with Pastor Alexandra a little bit of it. You don't know all the details yet, though. Monday morning, I woke up and I wasn't feeling too good. And it started to progress quite rapidly. And I was about to call a friend of mine to take me to the doctor. And I just finished having a bath and I felt like I was going to throw up. And I just ended up crashing on my bathroom floor. And so I called an ambulance, and I was really impressed with the response time. The firemen were there, and an ambulance was there in like 2 minutes. And they brought me to a hospital in Bowmanville. And I was en route to the hospital, and I'm trying my best not to throw up on the man's shoes of the ambulance attendant. That was my prayer that kept running through my head. Lord, just help me to just to focus on the bag and aim for the bag. I just felt in my spirit that the ambulance attendant was a Christian. And so I asked him, I said, "Are you a Christian, John?" And he said, and he was a little taken aback, and he said, "Yes, actually, I am." And I said, "Well, can you pray for me then?" And he explained that for reasons of politics, they're not allowed to pray out loud, but he said, "I'm going to pray for you in my head." And I knew that was God just showing me right then and there that He was with me. And we got to the hospital. Of course, it was overflowing, and of course, they were backlogged. And I ended up waiting 3 hours to be seen, and I was just writhing in pain. I've never had pain like that before. It ended up being an ovarian cyst that had ruptured, and if you've ever experienced it, it's very painful. They describe it as kidney stones. I don't know about birthing yet, but it was horribly painful, and I was in so much pain, and I had the friend who I was about to call to take me to the hospital. I wanted to call her, and I could just, the thought that just kept running through my head was that I just need someone to come and lay hands on me and pray for me. And so I called her, and she said, "Oh, I'm working. I'm praying for you right now. I'll get there as soon as I can." I said, "Well, what about Tim, her husband?" And she said, "Oh, that's a great idea. I'll call him. I'll have him come over." And she called me back, and I'm writhing in pain, and I take the message, and she says, "He can't come." And I said, "Okay, give him my car." And so he went and he got my car. He came into the hospital about half an hour later, and I just remember seeing him, and I just wave, and I turn, and I throw up, and he didn't even come and say hello. He just came, and he put his hands on me, and he just started to pray. And as soon as he did, it like instantly 50% of the pain left. In the meantime, a doctor had come to me, and they told me they were taking blood. He was examining me, and he said they'll get me on an IV as soon as possible and give me some morphine to deal with the pain. And so maybe about half an hour later, his wife comes in, and again, she, you know, doesn't even say hello. She just gets on gets her arms around me, and both of them start to pray. And within 10 minutes of both of them praying, that other 50% of the pain completely left. Completely. To the point where the doctor came in and the nurse came in and they were trying to give me morphine. I said, I don't need it. I have zero pain. And this happened to me once 9 years ago, and I wasn't even half as bad as it was this time. And 5 days later, I still couldn't even get out of bed because of the pain. And I got out of that hospital this time around, and I had zero pain, and I was ready to eat, and I've been fine ever since.
You know, just 1 sec. You know about the power of prayer? Just 2 persons praying. Now, how many of us are here? We're going to pray. Amen. So just raise your voice and start thanking God for what he has done for us. So Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are a good God, Father God. We worship you. We know, Father God, there's power in prayer, Father God. We know, Lord God, that 1 chase 1,000, 2 chase 10,000, Father God. And we know until this morning, Father God. And we want to come together in agreement, Father God. And Father, we just pray for this congregation, Father God. We pray for each and every single one of us, Father God, that our hunger for you will increase and increase and increase and increase, Father God. We pray, Lord God, that you will give us the hunger for more of you in our life, Father God. And also for our children, Father God. Father, we just pray for protection of our children, Father God. That those who are not ready to come close to them will not come close to them, Father God. We pray for protection over them, Father God. That they will not see the things that they are not supposed to see, Father God. That they will not raise with the wrong prayer, Father God. Leaders to come as well at the front. We're going to pray for you. And those who are at the back, don't feel left out. Just cry out to your God. Just cry out to your God, because you know what? He is listening to you. He's listening to you. Just ask him, what are the things that you are looking for right now? What are the things that you need to do? This is general. The first 30th of January, you dedicate your life back to God. Father God, we come before you and we dedicate our life to you, Father God. We know one day we will be accountable for all the money that you've given us, for all of the talent that you've given us, for all the things that you've given us. We know, Father, that we will have to be accountable for that. We want to be able to come before you one day and you look at us, you say, you have been faithful. You have been faithful. And Father, forgive us if we haven't been faithful. But 2011, would you show us? Would you teach us to be faithful, Father God, with the things that you have given us, Father God? So we thank you, Father God. Keep praying, those who are at the back, because we are a house of prayer.